From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Some good news for a change. Halibut prices are up slightly. The Kuskokwim River system is meeting its goals for kings, and chums and reds are running strong. Meanwhile, in Bristol Bay, the Nooshogak River is open again following a vessel sinking. In other news, Fish and Game Commissioner Sam Cotton gets an earful from fishermen in Kenai. And the deadline is looming for those who want to comment on tariffs with China. All that and more coming up in just a little bit on this edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Let's start with that deadline. China is the main exporter of Alaska seafood, purchasing half of last year's product, or roughly $1.3 billion worth of fish. The latest round of tariffs, which is expected to hurt Alaska fishermen most in the short term, is set to go into effect in early September. If you'd like to get in your 2 cents worth on the tariff issue, time is running out. Public comments are due at the U.S. Trade Office by Friday, August 17th. If you need help or more information, you can turn to the Alaska Congressional Delegation, any of whom can help you get information on the impacts and also on how to submit your comments.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans.
Halibut ex-vessel prices are seeing a slight uptick around the state, which is good news for some fishermen, after prices fell about $2 a pound at the beginning of the season. Doug Bowen works for Alaska Boats and Permits, a vessel and fishing permit broker in Homer, which is one of the sponsors of the Alaska Fisheries Report. Bowen tracks halibut prices around the Gulf of Alaska, which have a significant influence on the halibut quota he sells for fishermen.
We did see the ex-vessel price for halibut perk up a bit, where we're at probably 6.25, 6.50, 6.75.
That's up from about $5 per pound at the start of the season, which is the lowest price Pacific halibut has fetched on the docks in several years. Most of that drop has been attributed to increased competition from Atlantic halibut and a backlog of frozen product. McDowell Group fish economist Garrett Everidge says unlike this year, prices at the beginning of the season usually start high and trend downwards through the spring. But Everidge adds that the recent spike in dock prices is in step with typical market fluctuations.
Maybe the market's working through some uncertainty that was present at the beginning of the season. And around this time of the year, a lot of salmon fishermen who've done halibut are busy. And so it's typically the slowest time of year, and that could be a reason why prices have appreciated a little bit.
Those who are watching closely, like Bowen, also hope that the price hike might be a sign that processors have sold most of their frozen halibut inventory from last year. Typically, prices drop in the fall as most salmon runs around the state come to a close and rebound as fishing efforts decline toward the end of the season.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their family. AMSEA.org.
While Governor Bill Walker was in Kenai last Friday, he took some time to listen to concerns that over 100 Cook Inlet commercial fishermen had over management of salmon in the district during this year of low returns. KDLL's Jay Barrett was there and has more.
It was a generally cordial meeting, but there were many direct questions. With Governor Bill Walker to answer them was Fish and Game Commissioner Sam Cotton, and he was called upon several times to defend fish and game policy. If any exchange illustrated the tone of the Hour Plus meeting, it was this one between fisherman Jesse Bjorkman and Commissioner Cotton over how emergency orders are made.
When you closed the drift fishery down last week on Thursday, was that a decision that was made by local managers here, or was that a political decision made by someone else?
You know, the whole term political decision is probably misused. The
Sam, did you make the decision?
Pardon me?
Did you make the decision?
I end up, you know, the buck stops here, as they say. That decision was recommended by our commercial fisheries division. The escapement goals were in jeopardy, and I think we all can argue about whether the escapement goals are properly measured, but that's how we're supposed to manage. We're supposed to ensure that we achieve escapement goals. The Division of Commercial Fisheries announced that they didn't think that was going to happen, therefore we had to restrict the commercial fishery. That's not a political decision, it's a conservation decision.
Then why did you let the dividenders keep fishing? Yeah.
Hold on a second. Everybody's, we got to keep this in order.
Answer that question.
It's a tough decision. They're managed to a different standard. They're required to observe the 700,000. The commercial fleet has a 900,000 in-river goal that they have to subscribe to. It's a difficult logistical situation with the dip netters. There's nothing in the management plan that tells us how to do that. I think we have learned something this year. We did close it the last 2 days, and it's been suggested to me that was a political decision. It's going to contribute to achieving our escapement goal. Other people, like I say, I had people in your industry tell me don't close them down because that will jeopardize their ability to get back in the water. So it was not an easy decision. I would hope that the Fish Board will address that in the next cycle.
Lack of faith in escapement policy also arose. So many fishermen questioned the department's ability to allocate the fish fairly that Cotton promised to have the goals independently audited.
It sounds like that's a common theme here, that a lot of people feel that our escapement goals are all wrong or they're politically motivated. I can tell you they're not politically motivated. We have a strong... You think this administration is manipulating
Sammy?
Interesting.
You're wrong.
But the offer is we'll make a formal arrangement to have a scientific examination of the escapement goals and work with you on that. It's an important question.
That's an important promise. Thank you.
Okay.
The personal use dipnet fishery continued through the weekend. No further commercial openings have been announced. In Kenai, I'm Jay Barrett.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits. Marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Now we turn to fishing openers. First, we hear from Anna Rose MacArthur in Bethel, where following a season of heavy regulation, multiple fishing restrictions lifted on the Kuskokwim River on Thursday. Tributaries are meeting their escapement goals for king salmon, and the state estimates that 99% of the species has moved out of the lower river.
Across salmon species, state-issued escapement goals are being met in Kuskokwim tributaries, but the King Run remains weak, as they have for the last 5 to 10 years. The escapement goals are set to help ensure sustainable runs and future subsistence harvest. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is operating 6 weirs to monitor king salmon escapement. High water prevented most of the weirs from gaining accurate counts earlier this summer. However, the water level has slowly dropped, and this week the water level along the upper river main stem lowered to its historical average for the first time this season. Aerial surveys also indicate escapement goals for king salmon are being met. Though the king numbers aren't strong, other salmon species are logging robust runs. Chum salmon have surpassed their escapement goal. Meanwhile, red salmon escapement is tracking above average. Though silver salmon began arriving this week, many families along the Kuskokwim have stopped fishing to gather salmon berries and blueberries during the gap between the king run ending and the silvers arriving in greater number. Many families plan to resume fishing once silvers become more abundant in the river and chum salmon have largely cleared out. Other families wanting to avoid kings for conservation reasons say the silver's arrival will mark the beginning of their subsistence salmon fishing. This is the case for Kuskokwim River Salmon Management Working Group Chairwoman Alyssa Nadine Rogers.
My family doesn't go fishing till silvers. We did attempt earlier this year, but after I caught my third king, I said I was done. Like I said, I saved my kings for my elders.
State biologists speculate that the silvers could be arriving later than usual this season. The timing comes during a summer when both the king salmon and red salmon also seem to arrive late on the Kuskokwim. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
Meanwhile, in Bristol Bay, commercial fishing in the Nooshagak District reopened on Tuesday afternoon. It had been closed to salmon fishing for nearly a week because a 58-foot vessel sank near Clark's Point and was leaking fuel. KDLG's Avery Lill has this report.
Area Management Biologist Tim Sands has been monitoring the situation by air. He flew an aerial survey Tuesday morning.
We basically flew down to the wreck site and we saw no fuel coming out, no sign of any sheen anywhere.
Sands added that fishermen on the district's beaches reported they also did not see or smell fuel on the water. Even though the district's sockeye run is tailing off, Sands said there is still significant interest in fishing for pink, coho, and the remaining red salmon. At least three major processors are still buying.
I'm getting calls from people saying they want to go. So, you know, five or six calls, how many people that represents, I don't know, but definitely there's people who want to fish.
The owner of the vessel is contracting with the private company Resolve Marine on salvage efforts for the 58-foot vessel. Todd Duke is Resolve Marine's Alaska area manager.
Right now, we are actually in a fuel removal process. So we are have divers that are working on the vessel, and they're doing a couple of things. They're pumping the remaining fuel off the vessel, and then they're also sealing vents. They're utilizing a couple of different techniques to seal those up in order to keep any residual fuel from leaking out.
Duke said the salvage team is also conducting surveys to better understand how the vessel is situated on the riverbed. He said that low visibility and strong tidal current has slowed divers' efforts. When the Pacific Knight sank, it was carrying over 1,000 gallons of fuel. Duke said that some of that still remains on the vessel and that divers have removed a substantial amount, but could not provide a specific figure. After the remaining fuel is pumped off, the owner and insurance company will decide whether or not to remove the sunk boat. In Dillingham, I'm Avery Lill.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Avery Lill at KDLG in Dillingham, Anna Rose MacArthur at KYUK in Bethel, Aaron Bolton at KBBI in Homer, and Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio. We also heard from Jay Barrett, who for many years produced the Alaska Fisheries Report. He reports now from KDLL in Kenai. Remember, be safe. The most important part of fishing is you. In Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.